you're driving at 60, 70 miles an hour in the outside lane, you're in deep trouble if something breaks at that point. So it's a good idea to run a check over a relationship before things actually break, if that's possible. But I'm aware that we're all built so differently in terms of our capacity for relationships. And the first thing I'd like you to do with your piece of paper, don't be scared of your blank piece of paper. You won't be asked to show it to anybody else. You won't be asked to feedback publicly on it. It's just to help you really with putting some thoughts down. So this is just going to be on one side of the paper, and then we're going to use the other side of the paper for something else. And it's just very, very simple. You don't need much space at all.
Do we need to write?
You need something to write with.
I've got my box pens.
Have you got our box?
Pens.
Oh, you haven't got pens.
No.
Oh,
<I'm>
sorry. Sorry. Nobody got
dice
here.
Yes, on my phone. No,
yeah, you go dice. Yeah, you should have your ball of string, your little pen knife, and your pen.
I'll normally do notes on my phone.
Oh, on your phone.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think I'm a pen.
Yeah, I'm a very visual person. If I write something down, yeah. So what I want you to do is just very simply draw a straight line. And this is the spectrum of capacity for relationships. And this end, we've got extroverts. And this end, we've got introverts. And I'm wondering if somebody can just help me with some descriptions to make these words a little bit clearer. So let's take introvert first. How would you describe someone who's this end of the spectrum as an introvert? What would we say?
Inward. Maybe apparently shy.
Shy.
Quiet.
Reclusive.
Reclusive.
Needs their own space.
Yeah. Need their own space.
Somebody needs to be alone to recharge.
Yeah. Alone to recharge, right, that's great. We just started, Jean, on the line of introvert to extrovert, and we've just got some descriptive words here about the introvert. Any words do you think we could say about an extrovert, the other extreme, someone who's opposite?
Outgoing.
Is it loud? Yes.
Loud.
Can be loud. Any
other?
Life and soul. Life and soul of the party.
Gregarious.
Gregarious, meaning surrounding yourself by lots of people.
Surrounding yourself by lots of people.
Gregarious, yeah, being in love being in a crowd. Lots of people.
It's a good word.
Yeah, it's a good word, yeah.
I made it up.
Right, what I want to ask you to do, and that's just to say again, you're not going to be asked to share anything, show anything.
Sorry,
you thought we were in the
hall.
Oh, it's all right. Let's have another sheet here. We've only just started, Will. It's water. Sorry. I don't know if you've got something you can lean on.
It's fine.
All done. He's probably done it.
Okay. Right.
Draw a line.
The title of this one is Building Healthy Relationships. And I've just been talking about my car's MOT and service, which showed up that some things were wearing out. And another thing was that I wasn't going far enough or fast enough. And the car needed a good burst down the motorway at 110 miles an hour.
I'm on it.
Which Mark
volunteers.
I'm on it.
Yeah.
not on her little car.
Yeah. No, I was just saying that it's really good to sometimes do an MOT on our relationship, because otherwise they drift and things can start to go a little bit wrong and we're not aware of them. I wasn't aware of anything at all wrong with my car because switched it on, the engine started and I drove where I wanted to drive. And as far as I was concerned, the car was fine. But when it was properly looked at, it showed us that there were things that were broken, minor things that I wouldn't have noticed, but things that would have caused a problem if they hadn't been dealt with. And the MOT certificate couldn't be given until those things had been dealt with. And then just looking at our capacity for relationships, that God has created us to be people who are part of a family, but we are of different natures and temperaments. And here's the line, with introvert at one end, can you see that somebody, and extrovert at the other end. And I just wanted to say, can you just put a little marker where you think you are on the spectrum, because we're all on that spectrum somewhere. And are you closer to this end? Or are you closer to that end? Or are you actually right at the end there? Or right at the end there? Just for you to...
He's off the scale.
Oh, okay, over here. Yeah. Just so that you understand yourself, really, and how you're approaching relationships. Okay, now the next thing I want to do is for us to have a little look. We're going to do an MOT, so we're going to get the bonnet up, we're going to have a look at the engine, we're going to see what's going on in there, and I think I might need another sheet. And on your sheet of paper, and I suggest you use the whole of the A4 bit, and I suggest that you do it that way, landscape form. Do it that way round. And is it a bit wet?
No, it's been very effective.
Okay, and I know we don't normally preach about being self-centered, but I want you to put this little circle right in the middle of your sheet. Me. I know we don't normally preach, just put yourself in the centre and think about yourself, but this is what we're going to do just for a little bit. And I wondered if you can suggest to me what sort of groupings your relationships would fall into, because they do, they fall into groupings, don't they? So I was just wondering if we could identify some of the groupings. Anybody like to start off? Because not all your relationships are the same. They're not all as strong as others. They're not as frequent as others. Some of them you haven't necessarily chosen, but they're just there in your life. Anybody?
Work.
Work. So your relationships there would be with...
Colleagues.
Fellow employees, yes, your colleagues.
Customers.
Yes. Customers, if that's the type of work that you're in. Customers, clients, people that you're helping. Boss. Yes, boss.
Employees.
Sorry?
Students, related to a teacher.
Yes, students. Right, okay. So that's one. So that's one grouping, work. Another grouping?
Family.
And so, we were hearing the other day about family not just being the immediate close family of people who live under your roof, but the extended family, and it isn't just your own children, if you have children, it's their husbands, their wives, and then you go into their husband's parents, their husband's brothers and sisters, you know, and there's almost no end to it, isn't it? And but there's an immediate family, which I think is what they used to call the nuclear family, which is the people under your roof, as it were, and then there's those that extend out amongst the generations, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, don't think anybody would have say great grandparents, would they? But and then your children, and then your children's children, and then your children's children's children, and so it goes out. And then there's all the aunts and the uncles and all that. So I'm not going to write all those down on there, but we understand.
If you're in Uganda, there's an awful lot of aunties.
Yes, lots of aunties that aren't aunties, yeah. Well, I grew up having to call people uncle and auntie, and it was a little bit confusing because some of them didn't give you presents at Christmas. How can they be a proper auntie then? But it was slightly less formal than Mr. and Mrs., but it did bring a little bit of confusion, I think, for some children. All right, another grouping of relationships.
Church family.
Church family. Okay. And what sort of relationships are you likely to have within church family? There's quite a range, aren't there? Within church family. Depends on the size of your church a little bit. But I think because church family... you wouldn't necessarily have chosen to be with that particular group of people because people have come from different parts maybe they've moved into the area. They're not a group of your friends who've decided to start a church. There are people who've come to join you in the church. And so what are you likely to encounter in the church family in terms of relationships?
Many different types.
Yeah. Incredibly different types, yeah. So, different backgrounds, different financial status,
cultural differences,
educational differences. Some will have had very high education, some wouldn't have had such high education. Anything else we can think of?
Relationships across generations.
Yes, intergenerational ones, because the church is a family, and we've experienced that this weekend, haven't we? That we've had a really wide spectrum, haven't we? And I'm not quite sure how old Dave is. Is he the oldest? So we think he gets the prize, so Dave will be older. And who's the youngest?
Sam, I think.
And how old are
three.
That's incredible, isn't it? That here we are together, choosing to be together for a weekend from 83 down to 3.
We haven't met them yet.
No, they're not running around. So incredible difference and incredible potential for challenges there, yes?
financial
status there. There's too many to write up there. But enough to say, they're not going to be necessarily straightforward, those group relationships. Any other groups?
Friends.
Now generally, these are the ones you choose. Aren't they? Generally, you don't choose your family. You don't choose your work colleagues. You don't choose your church family necessarily. But friends, you have a little bit more element of choice. And I guess sometimes for a relationship with a friend, if it really doesn't go well, if it goes really badly, then you can actually decide to walk away from that. But it's a bit harder to do that when it's family, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And a bit harder when it's church family. And let me just see, did I get any other? I have one more, which was neighbours.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we don't choose our neighbours, do we? I mean, I don't know how you choose the house that you're going to live in, whether you knock on the door and say, I'd like to meet you all before I decide if I'm going to buy a house on this street. We were extremely fortunate with the house that we bought. 28 years ago, that tells you how happy we are there, because we've been there 28 years, and it's a very close knit. We're the new arrivals, actually, because some of them have been there 50 years and others 40 years, so we're the newbies, really, at 28 years. But incredibly supportive community, genuine relationships there. People looking out for one another, but not in and out of each other's houses all the time. I think I would struggle with that, being a little more this way for on the introvert, extrovert. I do need my space. But fantastic to have that sense of support, and all of us at different times in our lives have had different crises, and we've been there for each other in that, which has been great. Now, what I wanted to ask you to do next, and again, just reiterate that it's completely private, you don't have to share this to anybody at all. If you could jot down two or three names for each of those categories. No strings attached to the name, just identify. Just a couple of names, or more if you can, four or five names if they come quickly. So four or five of your friends, four or five of the church family, your own family, if you're at work, or if there's another scenario, or your neighbours, if you know the names of your neighbours, jot down just a few of those names. Pick any names that you want. It's quite a surprise to realise how many relationships are in your life. How many people are you touching in your life? Moment, because what I'm going to ask you to do next, which might help you with your list at this point, is to pick out three relationships, one that is rather challenging to you at the moment, causing a bit of stress, one relationship, this is why we're not doing this publicly, one that is a very strong, encouraging, supportive relationship out of any of these categories, and one that is distant, a distant relationship that you really would like to be closer, you really would like it to be more meaningful. So one that's challenging and stressful, one that's supportive and encouraging, and you could just put a star and then you could put an S for stressful, an E for encouraging, somebody you really like being with, and a D for distance. That just saves you doing lots and lots of writing.
Use a pen, Tanj.
Sharing.
Use your bare pens, is there some in the box?
I've got one. Sorry, I didn't realise that was why you weren't writing. Oh, do you want another one?
Yeah, we're worth
All right, so for example, if you've got a friend called Monica, and she's really causing you some grief, that you've obviously offended her in some way, or she's offended you, and there's stress there, so just put a little asterisk and an S. That's a sort of quick way for you to identify that, and we're going to come back to those then in just a moment. So just three. Hopefully you haven't got dozens and dozens under the stressful heading. So three altogether, one stressful, one that's a real supportive, encouraging, someone you really like to spend time with, and one that's it's a bit distant. Maybe it wasn't always distant, maybe it was close and now it's drifted and you'd really like to recapture that. Well, don't worry, if you can't think of one for each of those, then just do whatever you can, identify whatever you can think of. Are we done? Almost? Yeah? And we're going to hear some Bible verses now, because the Bible has lots and lots to say about relationships, and it is so relevant because the Bible is all about real people. So it may not tell you whether or not you should have an iPhone, it may not tell you what films you should and shouldn't be watching, it may not tell you what car you should buy next, so you don't open your Bible and there's the verse saying, okay Mark, it's a Mercedes, Hezekiah verse 12.
I thought that.
It doesn't do that, but because it's about real people, and we heard last night about David is somebody who knew how to mess up, and God spoke to him, and so we can identify with David, and so the Bible can give us help in our relationships. So I've just come up with six verses which have something to say about relationships. So they're not in any particular order, but who's got Philippians 2 verse 4? Okay, thank you.
Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others.
Thank you. So instead of focusing on yourself, think about other people's interests, what they need, instead of just focusing on yourself. Brilliant, thank you. Galatians 5, 14.
The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbour as yourself.
Okay, love your neighbour as yourself. Few simple words, not simple to do, is it? Because I think essentially, we are pretty self-centred. We don't have a lot of trouble most of the time loving ourselves. But to love somebody else like you love yourself. Not that it's wrong to love yourself, because I think, you know, God wants you to accept yourself as you are and to love yourself in that sense. But to love your neighbour as yourself, that's a challenge, isn't it? But that's another tip for good relationships, isn't it? Lots and lots of love around. Romans 12, verse 10.
Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves.
Okay, so this is talking now about honour, not just love, but honour. In other words, thinking highly of somebody, giving them respect, respecting even when they think or behave differently from the way that you think and behave. You respect them and you honour them. Thank you. Luke 6, 37.
Do not judge and you will not be judged.
And does it go on?
Yes, do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven.
Exactly, yes. So don't judge, because as you judge, you actually will be judged yourself. If you don't forgive, then you won't be forgiven yourself. So forgiveness and a lack of judgmental approach to people, that's a key in relationships, isn't it? Because the truth of it is, we are going to hurt each other. I don't think any of us get up in the morning and think, who can I hurt today? Who can I upset? Who can I annoy? Most of us, unless we're feeling particularly grumpy and we've had a really bad night, we don't wake up thinking, how can I really do harm to somebody? How can I really upset them? But it happens. We do it to others. Others do it to us. It happens. And so forgiveness is something that needs to be constantly at hand. It's like it's something that needs to be in your pocket, ready to pull out, not something that's buried that you haven't done for so long that you don't even know where it is in your heart somewhere. So that's a very important one. Romans 12:18.
If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone.
You know, I think that's a really important verse, because if at all possible, as far as it lies within you, because the fact is, you can't live at peace with all men and women, because they may not necessarily want to live at peace with you. Sorry?
Because we're human.
Because we're human. And what the Bible says is, it doesn't say you've got to hammer that other person until they get into line and you can be right with each other. Some people don't want to talk. They just want to go away with their offence. They don't ever want to see you again. And there's nothing you can do. They refuse to talk to you. They refuse to see you. I don't think you can normally do anything much about that. Without turning into some sort of control freak, trying to control the other person. But what the Bible says is, as far as it lies within you, live at peace with all men. In other words, you do what's needed on your side. And if you hurt them unnecessarily, you said something unwisely, thoughtlessly, or you didn't honour them, or you were judgmental on them, then you deal with that between you and God. And if you can express that to the person and they receive it, relationships restored. But there are scenarios where you can do that between you and God. You can express it to the person and they want nothing to do with you. And in that sense, I think you're then free to walk away from that relationship until such time as that. Because we are only responsible for what we have done and said. We're not responsible for what others say and do, but we are responsible for how we react to that. And I think it's very important that we only take responsibility for what we should. And most of us are walking around with a lot of misplaced responsibility and guilt, and it all becomes a bit heavy because we can't do anything about it.
I've got situations like that, and I take the girl's heart in that other person as well.
Yeah.
I find that helps me to pray for God's heart.
Absolutely, yes. And to keep praying, not to just dismiss that relationship, I let that go. Yes, to pray for God's heart, but you can't keep hammering at them. I want to see you, I want to see you, I want to see you. If they're not ready, they're not ready. And just praying that God's heart will find itself in them. Was there one more? Galatians 6.
Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
Which verse
was Galatians 6:10. Do good to all people, but especially to those who are in the family of God. Especially. And I think one reason for that is because that's a demonstration to those who don't know Jesus. Wow, look how those Christians love one another. So it's a demonstration to them, isn't it? Now, back to the three relationships that you starred. The one stressful, challenging one, the one supportive, encouraging one, and the one distant one that you'd like to be a little bit closer. Bearing those verses in mind that we've just heard, is there one thing that you could do for each one of those start relationships that would help the relationship to improve, be sorted, be reconciled, go a bit deeper. So just leave you to think about that for a few minutes. Is there just one thing? Take one of the relationships, a stressful relationship. Is there one thing that you could do in that stressful one that would ease the stress that's in it at the moment? Bearing in mind we talked about forgiving, we talked about loving, talked about not being judgmental, talked about honouring one another, talked about trying to live at peace with all men, to do what we can from our side. So if you apply those things to each of those starred relationships, and so not asking you to share them back publicly, this is very private. So all the introverts can relax.
Could you write some of those key words like honour or be at peace on the flip top? It's hard to remember.
Yes, of course it is.
At once.
Yeah. Well, those people have just done the reading. Can you just call out what you think would have been the key word?
Do not judge, forgive.
Right. Forgive. Don't judge. Yeah?
Peace. Do good.
Live at peace.
With your neighbour.
Good.
Honour.
Love. Honour. Anything else?
Their interests. Your own.
Yes.
Others.
Yes. Others. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah. So that helps.
Just does it? Yeah. Sorry. Yes.
Thank you.
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, so maybe you find it helpful to pick out one of these and just write it alongside the name.
Could you talk about that, help us understand how to
deal with that?
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, I think I've had one relationship, and it's a family relationship, and it's been going on now for some years. It was quite a difficult relationship there. And I guess I would always assume that I was the guilty party. It's just my default setting. I assume if something has gone wrong, it must be my fault that I've done something, said something, and all that. And I've come to realise, having tried to put right whatever, you know, I've dug deep and thought, was it when I said that? Okay, so put that right. Was it when? And I'm really digging quite deep, trying to think, what is it then that's caused this? This gulf. And then I came to the point where I felt and was encouraged by others who were praying about this, that I had actually done everything that was within my power to do, that I'd acknowledged responsibility for whatever had come over wrong or upset or that sort of thing. But now I didn't need to carry that guilt around anymore because it was becoming a real burden. And I just needed to release that person and, like Beth said, pray for the heart of God to be in them. And I'm hopeful and in faith that it will be resolved. It's been 8 years now, and it's hard to keep faith sometimes. But it's, I feel that peace has come back into my own heart now, because I'm not carrying around a burden that I don't think is mine anymore. Everything the other person required, I have done and said, and it hasn't made any difference. And so I just now have to release that relationship to God. Does that help? Yeah. Depends how you're wired, really. I mean, I'm the sort of person, I would always say sorry, even if I'm not at fault, because I hate anything broken in a relationship. And I know, well, if no one else is going to say sorry, I'll say sorry, even if it's nothing to do with me. Look, I'll say sorry. Can it now on be?
Can we please just move on?
Can we just move on? Look, I'll be the scapegoat. I'll take it. I'll say sorry. And I have to watch myself, because that's not very good for me, because I'm staggering around all this misplaced guilt and things. But yeah, any other comments or questions? Say yes.
Over the years, I've, in the various areas of relationship that you've spoken about, I've known people and have, in each category, been involved in helping those people to come to know Christ. Except family. I wonder whether that's unique, whether you've got any wisdom on it, because it baffles both my wife and I. I mean, it's my family, her family's different.
Right.
But I have a brother and two sisters. I have a sister who made a commitment for some time, but I did 30 years ago. But it didn't, it fell away. And that might well be because she became chronically ill. But the other two are just, you know, fine. You can talk, but it's like water off a duck's back. And I really advise solution for it. It's the most intimate, the family can be the most intimate
thing. Absolutely. You're asking, is it unique? I was going to ask a question in the room. Does other people find that hard as well? Because I have to say there are some members of my family that it almost seems the hardest of the lot, because you're often in close proximity or the expectations. Yeah, related. And their resistance seems to be stronger almost somehow. So has anybody else got that sort of experience at all?
Carolyn was nodding, weren't you, Carolyn?
I had the privilege to join the dots on a situation like that. My father died 7 years ago now, about 16 years ago, and my mum gave me a pack of letters that he'd written, and one of them was to my grandfather, who actually has also now passed away, but at the time was alive when I got the letters. And my grandfather was one of the most difficult people to deal with on the face of the earth. I mean that with, you know, the love of a granddaughter. He was just so unbelievably dead set against. And when I was at university, I felt like God had promised me that Grandad would become a Christian. And I mean, that, you know, I confess to being a bit like Sarah at the time, sort of, you know, that's funny, you know, almost, it's unbelievable. And I know that my father felt the same. And I read these letters that my father had written, one of them was to my grandfather about his faith. And I can see, there's echoes of what you're saying, actually, what my father had written. And about 10 years after my father died, God broke into my granddad's life. And it wasn't anything to do with any family member. But, you know, the letters of that desire for that in my dad's letters that had been written, I don't know, 20 years previously, and he would have, you know, gone to be with Jesus, still longing to see that and seeing no progress towards it. And I guess all that I
have learned from that is that God has a timing on it that we, you know, have no ability to see or control, or, you know, there's a trust in Him that He cares more deeply for your family members than even you do, especially in terms of their relationship with Him. And it's, I think it's one of the hardest things to trust Him for.
Well, I do think there's something there about just having to do what Nestor was saying earlier, that in the end you do what you can do and then you trust God.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you try to do more, you make it worse. So there is this sort of thing, a balance of saying, I mean, I'm thinking of a lovely, lovely lady in our church who's been there from the very beginning of the church. And all the way through her life, her husband wasn't quite there. He was a lovely man, but he wasn't there. And she used to put immense pressure on him. It was like maneuver and manipulate and do everything she possibly could to get him into meetings and all sorts of stuff. And he was a wise old bird, he knew what was going on. And you know what? We kept saying to her, just leave him. In one sense, love him and let God do what He's going to do. And even if God never does bring him into how you'd like him to be in, you just need to trust God even at that point. And you know, that was the truth. He died a couple of years ago. But the interesting thing was, there was a wonderful sense of honouring him anyway. I do think in the end he was a believer. But he never quite came into what she was after.
Yeah.
And I do think sometimes with family, you can almost try too hard.
Yeah,
so, sure. All I just want to say back to Chris, is honour you for how fruitful you've been in your other relationships.
Yeah.
I think if I could take that story and get back in other settings, I go, that's what I believe today we really are after, is to say we're not after trying to get people to meetings, we just want our relationships to be affected by the lives that we live, and that we are communicators of this gospel. And obviously you've been effective at that in lots of those areas of relationships, so I say commend you.
Let's make a comment on that. One thing that occurs to me is that your family know you better than all the other categories. Maybe one should tend to.
Maybe that makes it harder.
Maybe that makes it easier as a relationship.
True.
Well, I just want to finish by just praying, and I can be smelling the coffee soon. But just encourage you to take these sheets away with you, and to look at them when you get home and just think, okay, that relationship, that probably needs a bit of an MOT. It sort of is okay, but let's get under the bonnet, let's have a little look and just see if there's something there that God wants to do in that particular relationship. I mean, you can't deal with this mass of relationships, because I'm sure if we stayed here all morning you'd still be writing names under these different categories. But we can handle some, can't we? Bring those before God. And I think particularly the ones that are causing stress, those are the ones probably top of our list to ask God to help us with and
can
help
just,
us move forward.
Just before you pray.
Yes, before.
See, I'm just curious, inquisitive. I don't know if people would mind. I'd just love to know where you are on that scale of introvert to extrovert. I don't know how shy you are about being self-revealing. But
okay, well, I'll tell you what, I'll start here and I'll move my finger along.
Yeah, good,
and
go on.
If you're introvert, you can just go like that. You can go...
Anybody?
Yeah,
I'll do that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so
about
Mexican way.
Moving right, so you're a bit closer to the S for that.
Okay. You have to be in the next room before you get there.
I'm about there.
Okay, Mark and I were completely irreconcilable opposites.
Who's not ready yet?
No, no, let's wait until I get a bit further along.
You wait till you're in the kitchen dining room.
No, no, I can't go. Hold on, hold on. That they have in their lives. Lord, you know all the names of all those people who are touching their lives in some way or another, in some depth or other. And Lord, I just want particularly to pray for those relationships they've identified as being stressful and challenging. And I pray for your Holy Spirit right now to go into those relationships. And I pray that you would prompt us here in this room to know what one thing we could do to move towards peace in that relationship. Would you prompt us, Lord, so that we are fulfilling whatever lies within us and as far as it's our responsibility?
Yeah.
Would you just highlight to us what one thing we can do for that relationship from our side? And Lord, we ask, would your Holy Spirit move upon that other person and soften their heart so there might be peace. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to constantly look at our relationships and to be checking that they are truly not just healthy relationships, but they are being built, that we're building healthy relationships. And Lord, we really do need you for that. Thank you for your presence with us this morning, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hello.
A coffee break and then
11:15. 11:15 in the main room, yep.
Our last meeting.
Four. The massive marathon.
Did you want to keep it for the rest of the month? Oh, no.